Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it, the IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really, but yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show. Okay, my question is, what has been your struggle as a Jehovah's Witness? But the struggle you mentioned is, was it a Jehovah's Witness struggle, things you were getting through the religion, or was it your own struggle? Mm. Or were there a difference, or can you elaborate for me?
I think that people who are drawn to cult-like mentalities, you know, the black and white world where decisions are made for you, so it seems easy, like life is easier. People who feel very lost, like my mom did when she joined. She was only like 20 and she just had like a life and death experience where she was in the hospital and almost died. And so she was looking for answers. My dad was raised in a religion, but he wasn't like super into it. He was like, oh, here's all the answers from this religion I was raised in. So she really took to it. My dad's mom, my grandma, she was going through divorce. Like her husband, my biological grandfather, was always cheating on her. So she was looking for answers too. I feel like people who are drawn to, you know, these black and white belief systems have a history of mental health conditions. And my family definitely does. And I inherited it. But the religion aggravates it, or the belief system aggravates it. So, and it's that whole nature versus nurture debate, you know, like had I been raised in not such a black and white high control group, would I have had the mental health challenges that I've had? Probably still, I don't know, maybe not, you know, like it really, it's hard to say, you know, the hard things I've been through in my life, growing up poor, you know, the socioeconomic status that we had was very low. That was another huge challenge. Not feeling safe. Like I wasn't feeling emotionally safe, physically safe, spiritually safe. I don't think things are usually just one thing. Like it's always like this cocktail, you know, it's like a martini or something of like all these different things that manifest in your life to give you the challenge that you have. And so it takes a lot of things, like another cocktail, like a cocktail of self-care, to try to reprogram and mend and recover from all that. So I feel like even if I hadn't been raised a Jehovah's Witness, I still would have had challenges, you know, to overcome, substance abuse for self-medicating seems to run in both sides of my family, you know. I think there still would have been so many challenges. So
how have you overcome them now, or how are you working on them? For someone who's listening, can you tell how you are triumphing over them right now?
Slowing down. And then when I think I've slow down even more, you know, just take time to, like, when you eat, do you even taste the food? Do you feel the texture? You know, that's what I used to just chug a protein shake and go to work, or like drink it on my way to work, or, you know, like, or just like I'd be on the computer while eating, you know, just live fast, fast, fast. Like, that's the culture we live in. I'm really working on slowing down. I try to practice yoga every day to connect with my breath, with my body. That seems to be very healing for PTSD. And then I do guided meditations to help me fall asleep, and to the point where I can just do it myself in my head and get myself to fall asleep, because I've been an insomniac like my whole life. Like, I can remember being like 3 or 4 years old and not being able to go to sleep at night. Eating very healthy, like trying not to eat anything processed, which means I pretty much eat the same thing every day. But I'm like cutting up an onion, and I'm like putting in spices, and I'm taking the time to care for myself, like this basic need of food. That sends a huge signal to myself, I love you, you're worth this. And not self-isolating, like I have actually a little checklist. It's a Google Docs, like a spreadsheet. And I have like, get up in the morning, I take medication right now. I hope to like be in remission, I'll always need medication, but right now I take Lexapro for antidepression, and I take Prazosin for PTSD. So I have these little checklists. One of them is like, talk to friends, go outside, all eating all the meals, fasting overnight, not snacking overnight, do something creative every day, spending time with my husband, reaching out to my family of choice, because it's very hard to get attached to my family of choice, because like, well, you know, every day, I mean, everybody's going to die at some point, you know? So like, do I want to go through the loss again? It feels like all my immediate family have died, even though they're still alive, because I haven't talked to them 13, almost 14 years, you know? So I have this little checklist, and I turn them green, and it's just like a sticker chart when you're in school, like, oh, I did a good thing. And it brings me happiness, and it keeps me on track. And like, because I had started self-isolating, especially with COVID, you know, I just had stopped reaching out, stopped being like, this is how I'm feeling to my friends and my family. And so that's kind of my coping skill, is like basically like a own little sticker chart for myself of self-care, to try to, you know, keep myself going in a positive direction.
Yeah, that's very helpful for you, and of course to hear, because that can help someone else who's going through similar situation to either do their own or even replicate what you do. And definitely I'm with you on the physical health, exercising or doing yoga and eating the right food. And I believe that food is medicine.
Yes.
I do my best to meditate and take herbs before I go to Western. Of course, like, I'm not against Western, and if I need to take it, I'll take it. The only Western medicine I take right now, I don't know if you know of it, it's a pill that's called Truvada. It's a pill that you take to prevent HIV, kind of a thing. And so I know where I'm at in life, and I'm not going to bullshit myself. So I'm going to be like, if I don't take that pill, I'm either going to be positive, or I can take that pill so I can prevent it. So, and that's a Western pill. So I take it, and they do blood work, and I'm fine. So, but anything else, I do my best. And I've noticed eating right and exercising and sleeping, taking a rest, not even sleeping, but resting helps a lot.
And so definitely in with you. And making a list, I used to not believe in lists because I have everything here. But then when you actually make a list, there is a psychological reward thing, as you mentioned with the sticky note. It helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And I love it when I wake up. Let's say sometimes universe wakes me about 6:30 and I cannot sleep anymore. So I do so many things. And by noon, I'm looking for things to do. And I love it because I check the list. And if I didn't have a list, I would be like, oh, I have time to do it kind of a thing. And so the list helps. So based on what you wrote to me, I have a question. Who is giving you love and affection?
Who's giving me love and exception? Or
affection.
Affection. Who's giving you love and affection? My husband. He's the love of my life. He is amazing. He taught me what unconditional love was. I didn't even understand what it was. You know, we've been through a lot together. So my husband and, you know, really the gay community has been like a lifeline for me because I can identify with like being willing to be yourself and risk everything, you know, like this is me. I know a lot of people might not like it and might not talk to me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I have like, I would say I'm an ally, you know, like I can identify so much. And one of my best friends is ex-Mormon and gay. And then another friend of mine who's just like a cousin, like family to me. I lived with him before. He's gay as well. And just like, I go to drag shows a lot, just like celebrating being yourself or being whoever you want it with no social inhibitions, you know, that's, I feel like my friends who live their lives like that, or the artist community as well. I found a lot of like, this is where I belong. When I found other artists who just want to make art and share the love in their heart, they're not even like, I got to get rich or anything off their art. They're just like the community work we all do. We do so much free art for the community. And it comes back to you like, financially, we're great, you know, so right. The artist community as well, and especially here in Houston, it's really a beautiful community. The educators community, you know, there's so many amazing educators who they just bleed for their students, you know, and that's really something we all need to work on is boundaries. Like, you have to take care of yourself too, but there's just such beautiful people. And you know, I would say most of my friends and family of choice come from those communities and they just accept me for me. Like it's was really weird to get used to that. You know,
like, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, tell us about why religion is why your religion is love.
Oh, I got that from Bob Marley. I mean, I love Bob Marley. He's the best.
Why do you adopt that? Yeah.
Well, because God is love. And like, I feel like nobody can argue with, like, if love is your religion, nobody's like going to debate you on that. I don't, if they are, I'm okay. I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe might have some self-love to work on. I don't know. I just think it's like that's all I care about is love. It's unconditional love. It never fails. It really never fails. It may take longer
than it's challenging because I've noticed it's challenging because of ego. And I don't say the word hard anymore because when I was younger I would say the word hard. And my teacher, because I had to learn how to speak fluently, I used to stutter a lot. And she says, do not use try, do not use can't, and do not say hard, because those things are made up. They made up truths.
Yeah.
If you believe in them, they'll be your truth. So,
yeah, it's a perspective. And if you change, that's a huge thing for me. Changing the way I look at things, like there's this, one of the first original yogis that brought yoga to the United States, Yogananda, he said, life is like you're watching a projection on a screen. You can't see, if you have no shadows, you can't see the light. If you have no light, you can't see the shadows. And when you draw or paint, if you try to draw what you think is there, it turns out wrong. But if all you draw is light and shadow, it comes out, it looks just like real life. And I try to remember that. If something is challenging or AKA hard, it's just a shadow. Mm-hmm. It's just a shadow. And when things are great, that's just a light. They're both equally important. We need both of them.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. What words of inspiration can you tell the audience listening that something inspirational that, of course, all your story has been inspirational, but something, some nugget that through all this kind of, what animal that makes a pearl? To all your pearl making, like, what is that one pearl you like to say, hey, this is like, does that make sense? My question
is, yeah, like my one go-to or something.
Oh, yeah.
My one go-to is, you better love yourself, boo-boo. That's what I always think. I want to paint a mural that says that. Like, you better. Like, if your intention is to be happy and healthy in all ways, you better love yourself. It's not going to work out if you don't love yourself. Like, that, to me, that's where you start.
Right, 100%. It's funny, as of last year, well, I think in anything, there's a degree. I've always thought myself as loving myself until I got into a narcissist relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very self-unloving of me. But then I had a friend that says, you always hard on yourself. Stop being hard on yourself. And I have to remember that. Mm-hmm. Because I have this, as I mentioned earlier, I have this perfectionist mentality, and also not the crying part and being strong all the time. So I have to remember that. And so one thing that relationship did for me, beside many things, is I've learned some traumas that came up. And it also, that's one of the reasons that I'm doing the podcast. And that's one of the reasons I started singing last year. Basically, aww, it's like, most singers that have a number one on the chart is because someone broke their heart and stepped on it. And I'm like, oh yeah. So I'm grateful for that thing that happened. Of course, at the moment it sucked and it hurt. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday that the lily grows in the filth and we enjoy the lily. So without the filth, would the lily be there? Mm-hmm. Or even any flowers to smell the perfume of it. So we have to make roses out of filth or the manure, let's say. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And our past, we cannot, of course, we can cry, lament about it, to mourn it. But as any mourning season is gone, so we have to move on past that and know that the past is part of us, it shaped our present, but our present now, what we do with the present will shape the future, and then so on and so on and so on. So yeah, most certainly. Anything else you'd like to share before we end that I didn't ask?
I think allowing yourself to grieve is really important. I used to feel like, oh, what's the point? But it is important because you have to release those toxins that whatever caused that grief put into your body. And you have to give yourself time to basically kind of recoup. Or any feelings you have, whether you think they're negative or positive, allow yourself to have them because they're just going to build up in your body. I really suggest reading this book called The Body Keeps the Score by Dr. Vanderkolk.
I probably have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that term, definitely. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So yeah.
I'll look it up again.
Yeah, that's really
that's a guy, because I've read two books, one by a woman and one by a man. And with him, does it have a religious undertone?
No, it's very scientific. like okay. how PTSD works and how your body, if you don't release feelings or deal with them, your body starts manifesting illness.
Right, right. Yes. Yes, definitely. I read something like that. And when I, last year was my first time ever around this time of year, a year now, I've experienced depression. And I did have withdrawals, like it was as if I was on drugs. And of course, because it was COVID time, I was thinking I had COVID, but with all these other symptoms of COVID, it was not COVID.
Yeah.
And it was so intense and interesting how I never experienced depression before. And maybe because of my part of my personality, as I experienced depression, it was the most intense, crazy depression ever because it was my first time and I went hard on it.
Yeah.
So, wow.
I really feel that depression is just your body saying you need to rest. But we have so much guilt about it, then that just makes it worse. But whenever I'm feeling depressed, I'm like, oh, I just need to rest. And the depression lifts. Like that's worked for me anyway.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I slept a lot, and then I did not meditate because I was felt too tired, too tired, and that was because of the hard breaking up and heartbreak.
Yeah.
I've overcome it, and I think one of the things I need to definitely cry. I don't want to force it though, because when that happened, it did happen, and I did not force it to stop. So I'm just going to maybe find things to cry about, like they said.
Well, I think just being mindful, like, because it's going to take a while to get used to, oh, I'm feeling my feelings, you know. So just being mindful of like, oh, I feel something. What is it? Trying to name it. Maybe write it down, you know, journal a little bit or just talk about it. You know, it takes a while to get used to. It's a whole different way of life. So right. It takes time. Yeah.
How can someone listening to this support your art and where to find you?
Oh man, I would just say you could follow me at cloudtier.designs, or my husband and I have KP and Corey Art. And then if you want to support Chalk Crawl, which is a chalk art festival that I'm producing. But really just buy local art. Buy art. If you want to buy art, don't go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Buy art from somebody you know, somebody that you have a connection with. Go to little art markets. You know, like, don't just support me. Support all local artists and make a connection with the artist. It's a really beautiful thing.
I agree. Definitely agree. I do. Whenever I go around town, if I cannot buy anything, I at least go on their Instagram, like all their photos, and I follow them, of course. And then I make a screenshot, I put them on my story, or I post it on Facebook. It's free, people.
Yeah.
It's like, you didn't have to spend money on it, but you know what? Even if you didn't spend, let's say if it costs like $15 to buy something, you putting it on your wall may get 100 people for that $15.
Yeah.
So doing that little effort, at least for me, it's not that much effort, but I know people are on their phones all the time. So presumably it's not so much effort. So definitely support your local artists.
Make a comment of like, oh, I love this because let an artist know why you like their art. That is so motivating. Like that's worth so much. Like, I love this because, and name why this piece of art moved you, even if you don't buy it, you know. Right. It means a lot. It keeps us going.
Definitely. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I appreciate that, Corey.
This has been such a joy.
Yeah, definitely. Isn't it like awesome how we're still like hanging out as we knew each other?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like so effortless. So thank you. I appreciate that too. Yeah. <That's awesome. laughs> All right. So I'll see you next time. Bye. Okay.